FM News Talk 97.1. On demand audio.
Chris Wallace from Fox News Sunday. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning to you, Mark.
And what a week it's been since we talked last.
Well, every week is what a week, isn't it?
Yeah, I talked to Rachel Sutherland from Fox News Radio. I said, have you ever seen anything like the Oval Office situation with Pelosi and Schumer the other day? She goes, I think I say that to myself just about every day.
Yeah, well, that did stand out, though, and it was great theater. The thing that made it kind of fascinating is each side gave as good as they got. So, I mean, it wasn't one side beating up on the other. The president, obviously, it's his room. He's the president. But the Democrats gave too. And I would say the big winner in the whole thing was Nancy Pelosi, because just by the fact that she stood up to the president, probably cemented the fact that she'll be the speaker in the new House.
So she, in order to get that, according to some press reports, she had to agree to only serve 4 years, which is pretty presumptuous that she's going to keep the House in 2020, right?
Well, it's 4 years as the leader, because you can be the leader whether you're in the majority or not. More presumptuous is the fact that she'd be 82 at the end of the 4 years, and she only gets to serve 2 years, and then in 2020, assuming she wanted to maintain the position, she'd have to get a vote of not just half of the caucus, but two-thirds of the caucus. But, you know, I got to say this, whether you like her politics or not, she's a very good politician. She knows how to count votes, probably better than anybody else in that room. And, you know, the huge number, I don't know the exact percentage, but maybe half of the people who absolutely swore when they were running, I'm never going to vote for Nancy Pelosi, are now saying, okay, I'll vote for Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah. If you were a betting man, will you think the government shuts down next Friday?
No. I mean, it certainly could, but it strikes me as a no-win situation because, first of all, you know, I think the president did make a mistake, what he said, and I will tell you, Republicans on the Hill definitely think he made a mistake. The one thing you don't want to do is shut down the government. The thing you really don't want to do is to own shutting down the government. And so when the president, whether he wanted to say it or got baited into saying it by Chuck Schumer, said, I'd be proud to shut down the government, I can tell you the sound you heard up on Capitol Hill was Republicans smacking their foreheads, because this now becomes the Trump shutdown, and nobody ever wins when it's your name on the shutdown. Because of that, I think, you know, if I had to, what you could almost always bet on is I'll find a way to kick the can down the road. Do I think they're going to get a deal that everybody likes? No. But if you had to bet, you'd say they'll do a continuing resolution for a week or 2 weeks, maybe get them into the new year, and then we'll be right back there again. It'll be Groundhog Day.
Oh, I know. It will. It's almost like they want to just get into January where the Democrats have control of the House, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But having said that, I don't think Nancy Pelosi can give on this at all because, you know, she doesn't have the vote yet. I mean, I just said that she's got the votes to be elected speaker, but the vote doesn't take place until they come back in January. And were she to compromise and to give to Donald Trump on the wall, a lot of those people who now have come over to her side would desert. So she's got to stand tough at least until she's elected speaker.
Let me have you comment on what Senator Graham said yesterday about the Michael Cohen indictment. Number six, please. The guilty.
Anytime a former lawyer of yours goes to jail, it's probably not a good day, but I've yet to see any evidence coming from Mr. Cohen of collusion, and that's what started the Mueller investigation to begin with.
I think he's right. It's never a good day when it's your personal lawyer, but there's nothing there to speak to what Mr. Mueller was initially charged to investigate.
I agree. And having said that, I don't think that they would impeach him. The most interesting thing that was said on Sunday, and unfortunately wasn't said on my show, was by Jerry Nadler, who's going to be the new chair of the House Judiciary Committee, Democratic chair from New York. And he said, look, things like if you were able to prove that the president was part of a conspiracy to violate campaign finance laws, one could argue, not saying it is, but one could argue it's an impeachable offense. Then the question becomes, is it important enough to be an impeachable offense or to impeach somebody over? And I think, you know, wiser heads in the Democratic Party are going to understand to impeach a president, to basically say, and for folks, because you're going to end up needing to know all this stuff. Impeachment is not the removal of the president. Impeachment is an indictment. You basically say the president should be removed, and that's done by the House, and the Senate votes, and they, in effect, have a trial, and they're the ones by a two-thirds majority that have to remove the president. To remove the president is basically to overturn the result of an election, and whether you like it or not, Democrats, the fact is this is the duly elected president of the United States. So, you know, to try to get him on, and I'm not literally saying this, but to try to get him on a parking ticket, I think ends up, look what happened with Bill Clinton, it ends up hurting the party that tries to do
right.
it. And I would think that the only way that they would ever move, seriously move for impeachment, would be one, if there's evidence of collusion, or two, if there's serious evidence of obstruction of justice. And nothing that Cohen has said so far rises to that level.
Yeah, it's a good point. The other, if there was any breaking news this morning, it was the fact that the president canceled the White House holiday party for the media. I know that's probably upset your plans. How shocking is this announcement?
Well, I mean, I've been in Washington since 1978, and there's always been a White House Christmas party for the press. And, you know, some years I went, some years I didn't go, particularly if I was covering the president or doing a lot of business with the president, I would go. And it's fun. It's nice. I didn't go last year because one of the things that's especially fun is that you would line up, and sometimes you'd have to line up for a long time, and you'd get your picture taken with the president. And, you know, the first year you'd bring your wife, and then she'd get tired of it, and so you'd bring your kids. And, you know, by the end of the Obama years, I was bringing my grandchildren, who were genuinely thrilled by it.
I'm sure.
And you know, that's a kick. And it doesn't matter whether they like the president or not. When you walk up and, Merry Christmas, Mr. President, it's a thrill. So the problem is that last year when President Trump started it, he did away, yes, he had the party last year, but he did away with the picture taking. And to me, that was the fun of it. So I didn't go last year, and, you know, I didn't much care, but they've canceled it entirely now. You know, will the world survive? Yes. Did 99.9% of your listeners care? No. But it's a tradition, and it's sad to see it go.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll bring it back. His relationship's gone so south with a couple of the White House correspondents. I don't know if that fed into it or not. The White House didn't say why they canceled it, but I'm just guessing it had something to do with it.
I mean, one of the things that used to be particularly nice about it, look, I get FaceTime with presidents usually because I am, a reporter who talks to the president, but it was also an opportunity for, like, the lighting guys and the cameramen you know, for them to bring their wives. They'd all get dressed up. They'd all go. They'd get to meet the president. It was pretty cool. I remember the first time I did it, I was green as grass in Washington, 1978. Jimmy Carter was president, and I was thrilled.
I'll bet. Yeah, I'll bet you were. That would be a big deal. Chris, who do you have on this weekend?
Well, we don't have our lead guest yet, but we have a fascinating kind of back-of-the-book guest, and that is I got to sit down for about a half an hour this week with Bill Gates to talk about the Gates Foundation, all the work they do, talk about climate change and, ways in which it is astonishing. The Gates Foundation, the Gates Foundation, everybody knows about it.
Right.
It is the world's largest private charity. Since they started in 2000, they have given out $46 billion and saved millions, literally millions of lives. One of the things we talk about is how they're trying to invent a new toilet for areas that don't have sewer systems. And that's one of the things I love about Gates, is that, you know, it oftentimes isn't, well, we're going to give $1 billion to solve this. It's how do we refrigerate vaccines when we go to remote villages that don't have any electricity in Africa? Or how do we create a toilet where there's no sewer system in a village in India? And, you know, these are the kinds of things that are the difference between life and death, between disease and health, and all of the ingenuity that he brought to Microsoft, he now brings to trying to save people's lives.
Yeah, and not a story that gets told very often, so that's interesting. We'll look forward to that, Chris Wallace. Hey, if we don't talk again, Merry Christmas to you and the family.
Thank you. Same to you guys.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. Chris Wallace, Fox News Sunday. Of course, you can check it out here on the radio station. We carry a repeat of it, but it's on 4 to 5 on FM News Talk 97.1 and also on Fox at 1 o'clock Central Time on Sundays.